Okay, let's start starting here. I want to get two chapters in tonight, if that's all possible, so we should start. I mean, it's the appointed hour, right? 2 Samuel chapter 13, let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, we pray your blessing. In our reading this morning, remember Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, that's our heart's desire. It's our daily bread. It's what we want. It's what we long for. Speak to us tonight, Lord, and be glorified in the process. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Samuel 13, it came to pass after this. After what? Oh, glad you asked. David had an adulterous relationship with a lady named Bathsheba. Got her in trouble. Killed her husband. You think of all the stop signs this man ran through. I mean, look at the Ten Commandments. What's the first commandment, right? I'm the Lord your God. I don't have any false gods before me. You think he broke that? I think so. The second one is a forbidden idolatry. You think he was idolatrous in his lust? I think so. The third one has to do with, taking the Lord's name in vain. I think a lot of people think that has to do with, you know, we say the word God or Jesus and follow it with a swear word. Well, don't do that. But I think bearing God's name in vain has to you're carrying God's name in a vain way, you know what I mean? I think he broke that commandment too. Now, did he break the Sabbath? Did this happen on a Sabbath? Okay, let's give him a hall pass on that one because we have no reason to believe that. That was a Sabbath observance. What's the fifth commandment? Test time. Honor your parents. Did his mom and dad ever tell him, you think, hey, don't sleep with another man's wife? I'm guessing that mom at some point mentioned that. So there's another commandment down the drain. And, did he steal? Yes. Did he commit adultery? Yes. Did he bear false witness? Yes, he did. Did he covet another man's wife? Yeah, I mean, like 8 or 9 out of the top 10 commandments. But that's how sin is. We think we get this one little category. No, it spills over into our whole life. Was he a Sabbath keeper? Was he someone who's an observant? He loved the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. And all of a sudden, lust got the best of him, and all the commandments went out the window. So God sent Nathan with this parable that came from heaven, and for a year he tried to brush that under the rug and must have been a miserable year. And so now the Nathans in our life, God bless them, they come and they tell us what we need to know. He tells the story of the traveler, the wealthy man entertains the traveler, and he kills this one poor guy's little lamb. That guy who did that, he's got to die, and he's going to pay it back fourfold. You remember? Well, he pronounced judgment on himself, of course. And he's in the midst of paying it back fourfold, as we'll see tonight. Step one in the process, the child that was born of that union died. And he ends up fasting and praying as the child lays languishing 7 days, and finally the child passes. He gets up, he anoints himself, etc., etc. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, verse 24, and went in unto her and lay with her. Is that one of the reasons that God has given us marital relations for comfort? Yes, yes. It's here. If this was the only place in Scripture, I think that would be a strong indication. She bare a son. He called his name Solomon. And ostensibly, it's a time of peace in David's life. He's back with God, and he's at peace again. And he names his son that way. And he sent, and the Lord loved him. And he sent. Who sent? The Lord. The Lord sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. So now Nathan shows up again, and David's, now what did I do, right? And he's like, no, it's all good, Dave. God loves this child. He's named him Jedidiah, loved of the Lord. And now we have this thing. Joab fought against Rabbah and the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and I have taken the city of waters. Now therefore, gather the rest of the people together and camp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. Joab doesn't want to be a king. He wants to be a general. He's used to barking orders and people doing what he says, and he's used to directing the battle. And thank God for the Joabs in our life who say, hey, back in the battle, dude. That's what got David the problem in the first place, right? I think Joab's a good guy at this point. I say good guy. You know, he'd already killed Abner, so he's a bloody man. There's no question about that. He's a violent man. But I think he's loyal to David is probably a better way to say it. So David goes off to war, and you remember that he took their king's crown off his head, verse 30, the weight whereof was a talent of gold. What's a talent? 70 pounds or so. That's quite a crown, isn't it? I don't know if, and it was set on David's head. I don't know if that's a blessing or not. That's like, you know, neck fracture and vertebrae compression. And I mean, you have to go to physical therapy after you wear that crown, right? Chapter 13, it came to pass after this. Now we know the after this, okay? That Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon is the oldest. Chileab is the second. We don't hear anything of him at this point. Apparently, he's passed off the scene. The third oldest is this man, Absalom. Amnon is the heir apparent. So we're introduced to these three characters: Absalom, his fair sister, fair means beautiful, Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Wait a second, dude, that's your sister. That is yuck with a capital Y. That is nasty. What is wrong with you? And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. I'm getting sick myself reading this. Are you? You say, well, you know, in the Old Testament, Abraham, you know, married his half-sister Sarah. Whoa. That was before the law. And you got to remember something. Cain and Abel didn't marry, as far as we know. Cain would have married his sister. You do understand that. There was nothing else. Okay? That's how it had to have been. Now, after Leviticus, you don't approach unto your near of kin to, as the scripture says, uncover their nakedness. Okay? And this is, again, we're way after Leviticus at this point, right? Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Good. Right? Good. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. I think that's not exactly true. He had not a friend in Jonadab, because if he is any kind of friend at all, he's not going to do what Jonadab's going to do. So David's brother, Shimei, it's Jonadab's son. Jonadab is Shimei's son. So it's his cousin or half-cousin at least, right? Same. Their dads are, I guess that's full cousin, right? If your dads are brothers, right? Okay. He's very subtle. We don't need subtle people in our life. We need honest, earnest, plain-spoken, transparent people in life. Now Satan comes and he's very subtle in Genesis. You remember, you've read it. We don't need subtle. We need to be who we are. We need to, everyone should be able to understand us and read the book on us. We should be just out there, just honest, integrous. He's a subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou being the son's king lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Now, if he really was his friend, he's going to say, dude, that is disgusting. What are you thinking? Are you sick in the head? You need, like, help. What is wrong with you? which is the right answer. If you have a Jonadab in your life, Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat at her hand. That's a good friend. You have this friend in your life? Unfriend him on Facebook. Delete him from your phone. Do not return his texts or his calls. Block him on your phone or her. Do not, you don't need him. You don't need them. You don't. There's already those type of people. You remember Sunday morning, right? Big problem. We got to get circumcised. You're going to be saved. What do? We ask somebody. We go to Jerusalem. We find the people who know the best, and we submit ourselves in the multitude of counselors. That's a safe place to be. Godly counselors, right? We were in Exodus. What happened there? Well, Jethro came and he said, hey, the thing you're doing is not good. There's a father-in-law, a godly man, the priest of Midian. And what does he say? He gives him godly counsel. Follow godly counsel. You don't need the counsel of Jonadab. And too many people are listening to the people who tickle their ears and tell me the thing I want to hear anyway, and I'm going to do that thing, even to my own detriment. I can't tell you how many times I see that. I can tell you very personal stories, family members and everything else. We're not on their Facebook feed anymore because, we've encouraged them to, no, that's wrong, you don't want to do that. So we're unfriended, and they'll listen to all the people say, oh, you don't worry about it, sweetheart, that's fine, you just do what you feel like you got to do. This is how it works. And we've got to have Nathans in our life. We've got to have the people who come and they'll tell us the thing that we need, even when it's not fun to listen to. I've said this only 1,000 times. I want people in my life who will say, "You're a knucklehead. That's a horrible idea. Where'd you come up with that?" If I have a terrible idea, I got a board around me, right? None of them think I'm wonderful. We have love. We have this fellowship. It's good. But none of them are in awe of me who won't say, are you ridiculous? What are you thinking? Not that they say that all the time, because I try not to come up with things that why they would say that, right? But I want those people around me, because if they sign off on a really bad idea, oh, he's the pastor and we're just trying to, go along and stuff like that. Thanks for nothing. That was a terrible idea and you put your rubber stamp on it. I don't think that you was very helpful. I need people in my life who will tell me the things that are unpleasant. I have a first line of defense. If you married a spouse, a helper, right, meet for the situation, that God will give you that, and you need that. Well, she's supposed to shut up and be submissive. No, she's supposed to help and be submissive. You know what I mean? Now, that's a really good thing to have in your life. That's a wonderful. That's a real blessing, you know what I mean, to me. And on it goes. All of my whole point here is you don't need to be listening to Jonadab. Amnon lay sick and made himself sick. And like I say, reading this makes me sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar like he sent to take Bathsheba. See, what goes around comes around. Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother. It means cook him some food, okay? Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. She took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, did bake the cakes. She took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. That's a bad idea. To be alone with somebody of the opposite gender, that's a bad idea. Who's not normally a sister? I think would be a fine. That would be fine normally. If you saw me driving a car through town and I have my sister in the car, I think that's okay. But in this situation, he's getting rid of everyone. And Amnon said unto Tamar, "Bring the meat into the chamber." In other words, into the bedroom. that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber of Amnon, her brother. When she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. She's saying, do not rape me, okay? I know the King James language here is delicate, and I want to be delicate, but I don't want to be so delicate that we miss what's going on. Do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Is she right? Exactly correct. She's exactly correct. What we know about Tamar, she seems to be a good and godly person from the little we know about her. She's doing what her dad told her. Does she think something's up? Does she get her, like, I don't know. Is she on, like, a high alert here? I don't know. Don't do this. It's foolishness. It shouldn't be done in all of Israel. It shouldn't be done all of anywhere. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Let's go talk to dad about this, okay? Is she buying time? Is she actually offering a valid, real compromise? We don't really know what her motivations are. Would she be, if you do this the right way, is this okay? I who knows? I mean, she's probably just grasping any straw that comes by. I don't know. But she's saying the right things. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she forced her and lay with her. Now that is just as despicable as any verse I know. Bible accurately reports sin. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And that love, you almost put that in quotations in your mind. It doesn't look much like love to me. It looks a lot like lust, obviously. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. And she said unto him, there is no cause. Like, what are you thinking now? This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. He said before, how can I cause my shame to go? What am I going to do after you've defiled me, is what she's asking. I'm unmarriageable now. Nobody would have me. And, what's the thought process here? Now he's sending her away, and she's asking the same thing. What are you thinking? There's no cause. I haven't done anything wrong, in other words. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other. What does the law say that he has to do? He's married, he's slept with a virgin who's not betrothed. What does the law say he has to do? He has to take her as his wife. What he's doing now is, there is no scenario where this is okay. Now what he did was wrong, and now he compounds the wrong in sending her away. You say, well, he loved her so much, now he hates her so much. When sin is in the driver's seat, life is crazy. There's a razor-thin difference between love and hate, because it's not real love. It's not self-sacrificial. This is what you have to know. When your boyfriend says, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, let's involve ourselves in sin, the one thing we can write down, that's not love at all, ever, ever. He doesn't love her in the sense of being self-sacrificial to her. I think you're beautiful. I think you're a very godly young lady. I know this is kind of bending all the rules, but yeah, go talk to dad. If that's the only way out of this, having a fondness for your sister right off the bat is just, that's just nasty. I don't know how else to say it. This whole thing, is it turn your stomach a little bit? Well, these have been real fun studies, haven't they? What are you doing? What are you thinking? Why are you sending me away now? And he called a servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. You're joking, right? And you got to lock the door. Why? Because she's going to break the door down and come back in. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. I'll tell you again, clothes are important. The tearing of clothes is extreme grief, extreme anguish. Obviously, putting ashes on her head is a sign of just utter despair. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee?" He knows, because I don't think lust is that easy to disguise. I think we all know. I can remember Sue's telling, you know, me about people who've been, you know, too attentive. Is that, I think that's the way she put it. And then, like, later on when I heard that they fell into sin or something, she wasn't shocked. I'm always surprised at her. She sees things, I don't know if it's a woman thing or a Seuss thing. She seems to be able to figure things out, like, way quicker than I am. I'm just a knuckle dragger when it comes to that. She's so far ahead of me. But I think sometimes I can see, like, lust. I can see a guy like, "Hey, dude, you know, put your eyes back in your head and act like a, you know." Absalom knows. You remember back when we were saying all the king's sons are eating together all the time, and you know, that chapter about Mephibosheth, he comes to the table too and he's eating at David's table. I think there's probably a lot of dynamics there that are going on, like Amnon and Tamar. I think Amnon was pretty transparent. You can't disguise. Well, Absalom seems to know. "Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. Here's thy brother. Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. So he's gracious and he takes her in. Obviously, they both have the same dad, but they also have the same mom. When King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. So David blows a gasket, okay? And then what happened? Nothing. For 2 years, nothing. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon neither good nor bad. So they're not speaking, right? For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And forced there means forced, okay? Came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. Sheep shearing is a big deal, okay? You get the wool, you sell it. It's kind of like a harvest, and it's a celebration time. And the king said to Absalom, Absalom, verse 24, came to the king and said, "Behold, now thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with the king." The king said to Absalom, "Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee." No, you don't have to pick up the tab on that one, is what he's saying, chargeable, right? And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. "No, you go, you have a good time, God bless you," right, is kind of the idea. Then said Absalom, "If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said unto him, "Why should he go with thee? Is David smelling something fishy here?" But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. So everyone's going to Absalom's house, big celebration, et cetera, et cetera. 2 years he had forced his sister, nothing happens. Why didn't David say, "Okay, Amnon, that is totally ungood. I'm sorry, you're not going to be king now. It's going to your brother Absalom. I'm going to let you live. You should marry her. You should whatever." And bring Nathan in. Bring Abiathar in. Bring Zadok in. Let wise counsel reign. But what happens? He can't find it in himself to lower the boom on him because he'd done the same thing virtually. Now, I want everyone to understand, especially parents and especially grandparents, just because you've done something wrong does not mean you can't enforce on your children. A lot of parents are stuck there, especially ones who come to Christianity late in life, and they have this, like, checkered past. Because I'm an alcoholic, let's say, for instance, right? So I can't tell my children, don't drink. Well, if I'm falling down drunk, it's very hard for me to tell them. But if I've had a history of alcohol and now I'm stopped, they can say, well, you used to drink. And I'll say, used to. And I don't now because it is no benefit in my life. It's no benefit in your life. And if I catch you with a beer in your hand, I'm going to break all your fingers. You understand? Because I weigh 220 pounds and you weigh nothing. So you'll do what I tell you to do. And if you don't like it, you'll go find it. You know what I mean? So But a lot of times we're paralyzed because we're still ashamed of our past. Well, our past is our past. There's nothing you can do about that. My life before Christ was an absolute, it was bizarre. It was wrong. So now I'm a teacher. I realize that, you're right. I didn't do it right. You're going to. My life was broken. I'm not going to let you break yours. You use those things and we incorporate that into our instruction for our kids. David, he's not a great dad here. 2 years, so he blows a gasket, and then what? Nothing. So Absalom's saying, okay, dad's going to make his move anytime now. He's next in line after Amnon, and he's probably thinking, okay, I'm going to be the king now. This is going to be cool. Okay, dad, anytime now. 2 years? Obviously, Dave's not going to do anything. So Absalom feels like he has to do something. Remember something, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What Absalom does is wrong, but what David has done by doing nothing is also very wrong. If Absalom was a man of faith, he'd let God deal with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. Okay, let's get him drunk, like David got Uriah drunk. I'm telling you, all the chickens are coming home to roost. Isn't this incredible how this happens? If you roll a stone, it's going to roll back on you. You dig a pit for your enemy to fall in, you're going to fall in it. Right? We've seen this. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's son arose, and every man gat him upon his mule and fled. Came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's son, and there is none, not one of them left. Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, the subtle man, the good friend, right? He set all this in motion. And now, no doubt, he's trying to curry favor with the king. He answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead, for by the appointment of Absalom this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. Great. You got spare sons. It's all good. It's not, of course. It's better than all his sons being killed, but it's still not a good thing. Does David love Amnon? No doubt. This is the heir apparent. This is his firstborn son. Okay, the guy's a pig. And David's feeling like, yeah, well, I can't really say anything. But of course he'd feel grief for Amnon. But Absalom fled, and the young men that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. Why? Because he had lost Amnon. By the way, remember, it was a fourfold payment. He just paid his second installment. Sin involves a lot of... We can do sin, but we can't say, okay, this is what the payment for this sin is going to look like. That's not in our... It doesn't come under our jurisdiction. You say, well, it's too much to pay. Well, don't do the crime. Don't do the crime. Now, God has blessed him. Him and his Bathsheba is now his wife. And now they have Solomon. Is good things happening in David's life again? Yeah, but that doesn't mean that we're at peace with God. It doesn't mean like he started this. He's planted seeds that are going to be harvested. And here we are. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. That's where his mother was from. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Okay, that's water over the bridge, but now I'm missing my son. Not the new heir apparent. And he loves Absalom. And he's proud. He can't go and he can't. Now, chapter 14 fits in with this, so we have to do this. That's why I want to do both these chapters, because they go together. Now, Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Joab, remember him, he's the general of the army, he perceived the king's heart was toward Absalom. Joab loves David at this point still. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel and anoint thyself with oil. Anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that hath a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. And Joab put the words in her mouth. So you got what's going on here, right? He gets this woman to involve in subterfuge and going to tell the king this tale of woe. No doubt he had heard what had happened with Nathan coming to. And so he's got this similar plot that he's going to hatch and kind of try to get the same result. And by the way, it works to a degree. When the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground, did obeisance, and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? I like that. What aileth thee? What's your problem? I don't think he said it that way. I think he said, okay, what's the issue? What's troubling you? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead, and thy handmaid hath two sons. And they strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. Behold, the whole family is risen against thy handmaid. And they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him, for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also, and so they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. Now again, what's the law say should happen in this situation? They have two brothers, they're fighting, one kills the other. What's supposed to happen? Death. It doesn't sound like manslaughter, it sounds like what we would call first-degree murder. So deliver up the son, we're going to kill him, and she's saying, but then I'll have nobody. Is that a problem? Yeah, to any mom. I always say the mom's the one who always believes in her children, you know. I don't care if her son's a mass murderer. You talk to a mom, well, he's really a good boy. You don't understand. You can always depend on mom to stand by you regardless of anything. Well, these two, they're not horrible children. I mean, obviously they had a, you know, they came to fisticuffs or something. One of them ended up killing the other, but it doesn't necessarily, I mean, I know a lot of guys who've been in brawls, including me, and, you know, we're not exactly murderers, you know what I mean. You just wanted to rough them up. You weren't trying to kill them or anything. And so the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it, what he's saying. The woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king is and his throne be guiltless. What's she saying? She's saying you're going to render a verdict that's against Torah, that's against the law of God. I'll take the blame. I'll absorb that. I don't want you bringing reproach to your throne. King said, Whosoever saith aught against thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. So David's really, why is David affected this way? David's a man of great emotion. I think we've all found that out. So you had two brothers, who one of them killed the other one, and now you want to bring this other one home but you don't want, you can connect the dots in your thinking. Right? I mean, obvious to me, he's thinking about Absalom and Amnon. Okay, the one's done, but that other one, I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, okay, I see you're a widow lady and you need your son. I get it. I think he's moved because he obviously is feeling feeling her. Like, yeah, lady, I'm feeling you. I know. I totally get it. And I think he does. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldst not suffer the revenges of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he's saying, yeah, lest they destroy mine too. I get it. And he said, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. That's not Torah. And the woman said, let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, say on. She says, one more thing. Yeah, go ahead. The woman said, wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. Hey, you're being a little hypocritical, aren't you? Oh my goodness, she's bold now, right? You're speaking falsely. If what you're saying is so in my case, why is it not that way in your case? Wow. Wow. Well, she's a wise woman of Tekoa. There you go, right? I think she's Joab. He's pretty clever in his own right. He's, listen, what's good for the goose, king? So you're saying you're going to bring him back, and if anyone says anything against him, you come and see you, and you'll straighten that person out right away. Well, Dave, what about Absalom? What about your banished? For we must needs die, and are as water spilt out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Wow. I like that. I mean, it's kind of sad, but I mean, it's kind of true. Hey, we're all, listen, if Jesus don't come back for another 100 years, well, we're all, and some of us are a lot closer, it won't take 100 to do us in. We're all going to die. It's like water spilled out on the ground. What are you going to do, collect it back up? Go out and pour up a glass of water out there and go try to pick it back up again. For we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered again. Neither doth God respect any person. Me, my son, you, your son. God's not a respecter of persons. Boy, I like her. She's right. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Oh, she's preaching the New Testament gospel. Has God put together means that his banished can come back to him? Have you not read the story of the prodigal son? David's supposed to die. He committed adultery and he killed a man. Is he dead? No. Has God provided means? Not in the law. Not in the law. The letter killeth. Right? But in grace, hey, people ask you, should we keep the law? Should we keep the law? Yeah, let's keep the law. We'll kill David. Let's kill Absalom. Take his widow's son and kill him. Sure. That's the just thing to do. You say, well, how come God's unjust? Oh, bite your silly tongue. Mercy triumphs over justice. Was the price paid? By Christ it was. God does not overlook sin. But that's the gospel of grace now, isn't it? Jesus died. I deserve the death. Jesus paid the death. I get in on his coattails. His blood cleanses us from all sin. It's amazing that she got this. God doesn't respect any persons, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Obviously, David would know that. And have we read Psalm 51? Hey, mercy, sacrifice, you didn't want that, or I would have gave it to you. The offerings of God are a meek and a contrite spirit. Now therefore, that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, and it is because the people have made me afraid. And now thy handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king. It may be the king will perform the request of his handmaid. For the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable. For comforting is the idea, right? For as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore, the Lord thy God will be with thee. It's a wonderful speech. And the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing which I shall ask thee. Okay, fess up, right? And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. And the king said, is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? Because they're friends. They've known each other for a long time at this point. And David would see the subterfuge, this cloak and dagger might be too strong, subterfuge might be too strong a word. Joab's heart's in the right place. He's concocted the story. David swallowed a hook, line, sinker. Oh, you're a widow woman, you only got two sons? Oh, no, and they wanted to kill your other son because he, oh, that's horrible. And Dave, God's no respecter of persons. You're not right in this. What about you're banished? Isn't Joab with thee in all this? The woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or the left from aught that my lord the king hath spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, and he put all these words in the mouth of thy handmaid, to fetch from this form of speech, hath thy servant Joab done this thing? And my lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. She's buttering him up, right? I think she's sincere, though, and I think he is pretty clever. And the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go, therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. Why doesn't he go after him? Why does he send Joab? He's not quite the... This isn't quite the story of the prodigal son, is it? I think he's still harboring some bitterness. I don't think he's forgiven him entirely. You say, well, he killed his son. Every time somebody tells me why they haven't forgiven somebody, they're always correct in their, well, if he did what, and they tell me and they lay out their complaint, and it's always concrete. I shouldn't say always. It's generally, if they didn't do anything, you wouldn't have anything to, I wouldn't be asking you to forgive them. If they didn't do anything wrong, they don't need your forgiveness. The reason that you're very upset and you're very bitter and you're very, because they did something wrong. That's a foregone conclusion. And forgive. We're never more godly. I cannot have the bitterness. I've got to tell you, I've just been working at this for a long time. I was thinking about this even today. I don't have enemies list. I don't have people I hate. I don't have people I'm really bitter. You say, well, yeah, nobody ever did. Don't go there. You have no idea. I'm just like you. If you live in this world long enough, people bump up against each other and sometimes not to the better. People have used us despitefully, wickedly, said things about us, hurt us, stabbed us in the back, like people do with you. My life is no different from your life. I will not be bitter. And the only way I know not be bitter is to forgive from my heart best I can. And people always think, well, I'm still upset, I'm still mad. What does that got to do with anything? I think forgiveness is a faith thing. If you're waiting to feel good about somebody, you're never going to feel good about your betrayal, people stabbing you in the back, people robbing. When do you feel good about that? Well, he stole this thing from me, but I didn't want it anyway. Right? I mean, we don't. It when somebody stabs you in the back, it always hurts. When somebody betrays you, trust, it always hurts. So we can do in a situation like that. I'm just going to forgive. I'll fix their wagon. I'm just going to forgive them. It's the best way to live. It really, really is. I don't think he's forgiven them. Go, you go, and you see, why do you say that? Oh, because I read the rest of the story. Job fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Job said, today our servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, and that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Job arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house. Wait, what? Let him not see my face? That's not quite the prodigal son story, is it? Fatted calf time? Nope. You go to your own house and you think about what you've done, young man. You send him to his room, in effect, right? Okay, he's been away for a long time now. Let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Now, this is setting it up for the next chapter, and let's go here. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head. There was no blemish in him. Okay? His sister is really beautiful. He's really handsome. Okay? David's their father. David's a handsome man. And Talmai, the daughter of Geshur, I can't remember who it is, but anyway, this princess that David probably caught in a raid somewhere, apparently she's very attractive. Two very attractive people have children very often. They're very attractive. And here you go. So he is this really handsome guy. There's no blemish in him. When he pulled his head, I ain't going to pull my head. Shaved. Cut his hair off, okay? For it was at every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him there. By the way, it's setting it up. It's kind of a foreshadowing. It's almost like a Shakespearean, right? His hair is going to get him in trouble. Because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. How much is that? Anyone got a gloss? It's about 6 pounds of hair every year. Why did he weigh it? What kind of guy does that? I don't even understand that, right? Because every time I see my hair person, right, and she cuts all the hair off and stuff, I always collect it, right, and I put it on a scale, and we got to find out, right? No. No, not at all. what kind of guy does that? So every year he cuts his hair, and obviously he's got this real fast-growing hair, and it's probably raven black and make us all jealous, like, you little puke, I hate you. Anyway, I can't complain. I know it's gray and stuff like that. I still got a full head of hair, and I, in my advanced age of 59, so I really ain't got too much to cry about. But anyway, you know, guys with like beautiful hair, I don't say nothing because you can't say nothing because you're a guy, right? But you sit there and you're jealous sometimes, you know, I don't know, right? 200 shekels, about 6 pounds. Unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter. Whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. So he has this little girl, and she's beautiful, and he names his daughter after Auntie Tamar. Obviously, Tamar hasn't married. She's, can I say, spoiled goods in this culture at this time, and she's living with an Absalom house still. And no doubt he said, hey, I want you to meet somebody. I named her Tamar. I think this is, I don't hate Absalom at the beginning. You're going to learn to hate him. I was like, who's the guy who weighs his hair? That's a little suspect right there. But you can't hate him just because he's a good-looking guy. And Amnon, that he killed him, I mean, there was a kind of a revenge thing there. I understand that. I'm not saying it was right. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We don't take matters in our own hands. This wasn't adultery. It was rape, and it was wrong. He's supposed to, I mean, there's remedies in the law for that. None of those have been applied. So Absalom's waiting for his dad to do something, doesn't do anything, takes matters in his own hands, but he still loves his sister, and he names his little daughter after her. And so there's some tenderness here. Absalom dwelt 2 full years at Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Boy, now we're going on like 5 years, right? How long was he away? About a year, I think, if memory serves well. So he's 2 years waiting for dad to do something, doesn't do anything, right? He's away, now he's back, and 2 years he sees not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him, and when he sent him the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. That's a good idea, right? He's crazy, because Joab's a tough hombre. Obviously he knows Joab well enough to realize that Absalom's servant set the field on fire, and Joab arose and came to Absalom to his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy set my why thy servant set my field on fire? He says, hey, can you hear me now? I done told you twice, all right? Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent thee, saying, come hither, and I may send thee to the king, to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face. If there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. Of course there's iniquity in you, fool. You killed your brother. So he's this self-righteous guy who thinks, well, I haven't done anything wrong. Well, of course you have. Of course you have. Okay, there's mitigating circumstances, but you took a life. Yeah, you're a bad guy. So he said, what does he want to see the king for? Because he's trying to establish rapport. He's trying to get back in his good graces. He's trying to, I think this is all part of the plan. He's planning now, like, I'm going to be the next king, and I'm waiting for dad to die. I can't wait that long. And I think at this point, he wants David dead. And I think this is the pre-plan. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, that's to say David, right? He came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. In other words, they kissed and made up. It's all good now. He got what he wanted. Okay, now we're good. Now let's move the program on. What's the program? You don't even want to know. Be here next week. It just goes bad. It's the wages of sin playing itself out. Let's pray. Father, the lesson tonight, Lord, we don't want any Jonadabs in our life telling us stupid things. We want to be forgiving. We don't want to take, you know, matters in our own hands. We've a couple times now we've thought, vengeance is yours. All that's up to us, Lord, is not to be poisoned by sin and by bitterness, and to be forgiving and like you would forgive. And Lord, we like that you devise means that your banish be not expelled from you. We like that. We take great comfort in that. Lord, thank you for this word tonight. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is our desire to get God's word out to all. So our podcasts and everything else downloaded from our website is free. But we do have expenses. And if you feel led to give a dollar for this resource, please go ahead and click the Give tab on our website at plowboyministries.org. Grace and peace.
And everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love